It's Texas Standard Time.
Well, sticking with politics, Texas will hold the first primary contest in the nation in the upcoming 2018 midterm elections. If patterns of winners emerge, that could set the tone for primary contests in the rest of the country. When it comes to congressional races specifically, a slew of retirements among Texas Republicans has resulted in a packed field of candidates vying to replace them. And with campaign committees from both national parties hesitant to endorse candidates, roll call reporter Bridget Bowman says outside groups are becoming heavily involved in the primary races. Bridget joins us now to break down her findings. Thanks so much for coming on the Texas Standard.
Thank you for having me.
You've highlighted some things to watch ahead of the Texas primaries. And as I mentioned, one of those bullet points is outside influence. Before we get to that, why aren't the party heads choosing sides just yet?
So one of the issues could be the fact that Texas has a runoff provision. Mm-hmm. So if none of these primary candidates get the majority of votes on March 6th, then the top two vote-getters advance to a May runoff. One Democratic strategist I talked to, when I asked him that same question, he said, well, you want to make sure that if you do publicly back a candidate and they don't get into the runoff, that doesn't look very good.
Yeah.
And so you want to make sure that your candidate gets into the runoff, but you might be doing it behind the scenes. We do see some cases where leaders, especially on the Democratic side, where leaders will donate to certain candidates as sort of a signal that this is their preferred candidate.
I see. So what outside influences are we seeing getting involved in the primaries?
So far, the outside involvement has been mainly through endorsements. So we've seen Emily's List, which is a group that supports pro-choice female candidates, endorse five candidates in a number of races. So that connects candidates with their donor network. We haven't seen a lot of outside spending on behalf of candidates. They also could be waiting for the runoff as well. We've seen other groups like the political arm of the Hispanic Caucus in Congress endorse in a number of these races. So, as well as the Conservative Club for Growth PAC endorse in two of the Republican races. So these outside groups see some of these races as places where they can kind of fill the void maybe of party organizations and really boost their candidates, make sure that their candidates get into the runoff. And we see outside groups playing in some of these safe races too, so solidly Democratic seats or solidly Republican seats, so that they can really, because whoever wins the primary in some of these seats are likely to become members of Congress, so they can build some allies early on by playing in some of these primaries.
So when it comes to specific races to watch, you write Democrats are specifically targeting three GOP-held districts. What's the background on these districts and what's the Democratic strategy there?
Sure. So the first district is Texas 23rd, which is an extremely large district. It's represented by Congressman Will Hurd. This is kind of your typical battleground district. It's a swing district. It's been represented by Democrats and Republicans. Not a surprise that Democrats are targeting this district. Two other top Democratic targets are the 7th District near Houston, that's represented by John Culberson, and the 32nd District closer to Dallas, that's represented by Pete Sessions. So both of these districts represent some of the emerging targets that Democrats have across the country. So these are districts that Hillary Clinton narrowly won in 2016. They're heavily suburban districts as well, and they're also in expensive media markets. So there are similar races in California, Florida, Illinois, Pennsylvania, kind of across the board that Democrats are targeting, and these are sort of representative of some of those other races as well.
Yeah, you point out a number of Texas GOP congressional seats are being left open after several retirements this year. So what should we look out for during some of those primaries?
So definitely to watch who makes into the runoff. So some of these, of the six open Republican seats, five of them are considered to be pretty competitive primaries. They range from, I think, half a dozen to 18 candidates in one of the primaries. So to see who makes it into the runoff, where do outside groups get involved? Where do we see these members kind of candidates trying to position themselves? Are they saying that they'll join the Freedom Caucus, which is a group of conservative Republicans in the House? Are they saying they'll be more mainstream? So to kind of watch where these Republicans position themselves, especially in these crowded primary fields, will definitely be interesting.
Bridget Bowman is a reporter for Roll Call. Bridget, thanks again.
Thank you.